Food, film, and music. Some of our greatest loves in life. Welcome to Seems to Me with your co-hosts, Sibeline Sariano and Steve Ricardo.
Hi.
I'm sorry I'm laughing. That was funny. I was waiting for the rest of the intro to happen when I go, hello, and it didn't happen. So I'm going, hello now.
Yeah. All right, man.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. How are you?
I'm good. You got your Rolling Stones shirt on today. You're rocking out for people that can't see it. It's
got my
awesome.
Rolling Stones rock and roll t-shirt. I'm starting to pull out my rock and roll gear to wear in here because I feel like I have to dress the part.
Listen to
the
best dressed woman in Boston over here saying she has to play. You always look amazing. Come on.
Thanks, Steve. Well, he's dressed in a collared shirt.
I had to.
And he's wearing orange and blue, so I got to give him a little, you know, tip in the hat to this cuse. I mean, it's actually yellowish
you
orange.
You love yellow.
And
our engineer Mike's wearing yellow.
Yes, I was very proud of him to see this. And part of I just posted this weekend about all the yellow that's popping out to, you know, to me right now. So all the guys in here are wearing yellow, people. This is good stuff.
It's all because of you.
Oh, if I just do my little touches here and there, you know, we'll just one guy at a time, we'll change the world of fashion here in Boston. No more fleeces, boys. No more fleece vests, please.
Okay, I don't know what a fleece vest is.
Oh,
so
Jesus,
hopefully
it's the worst
I've never
thing that
worn
they ever
one
created. So we have a great show for you today. Super excited. We're gonna kind of be a little bit off the cuff. We're a little bit less regimented, if you will.
Scripted.
Yeah, that's the word. So we're going to cover the Oscars because I know it happened a week ago. We're a week behind here, but, you know, it would have been the Sunday before we do our show. And, you know, we need to catch up.
We record on Monday.
There was already, you know, stuff that we were talking about. So we're going to talk about my best dressed and not so best dressed because I hate saying the word worst because, you know, you tried, you gave it a good shot. You just didn't make the best cut. Best dress cut. Nomad, Frances McDormand, Trent Reznor, and some other fun topics after that. We'll leave you waiting.
Yeah, I'm ready, I think.
I just want to talk about a couple things about my weekend. I ended up going to Encore Boston and played blackjack at the tables.
Did you win a lot of money?
Nope. I donated a lot of frickin' money to Encore Boston. And so did my friends that I played with. We would win and then we would lose and then we would win and we lose. And when you're playing $25 a hand, you know, they really need to get with the program over there. Like,
is this
we're
the place
not
in
Vegas.
Everett?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never been there.
The giant new casino that went up here in Boston that's in Everett, Massachusetts, that's trying to be the cosmopolitan of Vegas.
Okay, if anyone knows Everett, Massachusetts,
uh-huh,
you don't know
exactly
how funny that is.
Oh, it's hysterical to me. I'm like, this used to be like the ghetto, and now
used
it is.
To be.
I mean, it's, yeah, I know. Well, I mean.
Is it nicer now?
Oh, God, Steve. You go up 99? Broadway in 99, you won't even recognize it.
I gotta check it out.
It's like, it's like an adult playground. It's lights everywhere. It's like the casino is gorgeous. I mean, it's freaking gorgeous. It's really well done.
I try to stay away from casinos because I'm like a slot guy, you know. Once I start playing slots, I was going to the casino in Pittsburgh a lot when I was living there. And once I think I won $150, and every other time I went, you know, to the ATM machine.
That's
like
called gambling.
10 times. Yeah, it's like
I went to the ATM and it was sad.
Yeah,
I was like, this is when you know you've started to go downhill when you actually get up and go to the ATM. But whatever. It was fun. The way I look at it is I have a set amount of money that I go and I spend. And once I've hit that, I leave. I'm not going to like clean my bank account out. But it's fun to me. It's so much fun. And the banter at the table. And we had these two young guys that were like brothers. And they slapped down hundies on the table when they were like, you know, getting their like chips. And we just had so much fun. And like what I love about a good table is that everybody's helping each other. Like sometimes you don't know what to do when the dealer's showing a 5 and you have a 2 or you have a 10. I mean, not a 10, but like if you're showing a 2 but you have a 10 underneath.
Talking about blackjack here?
Yeah. Do you not know it?
I used to play blackjack when I was young, but
Okay. Let me.
You
let
need
me,
21 to win, right?
You need. Yeah, yes, you need 21 to win. That's good. That's good. You know, generally a 10 and an ace, which equals 21. That's what you're looking for. But when the dealer's showing an ace, you got to assume the dealer has a 21, even if he doesn't. But you kind of just assume. So you know, they ask you if you want insurance on your hand and yada yada yada. If you have double eights, you know, if you have double aces, I got double aces, you guys. Like that was like epic. And then I didn't get 21 on either of the hands. So anybody that knows cards right now that's listening will appreciate this. I actually have a really, really good friend from Syracuse University and her husband, Ben. I'm going to do a shout out to Janelle and Ben.
How do you manage to mention Syracuse in every single episode? Is this going to happen every week,
well,
isn't it?
Did you like college, Steve? Because I really enjoyed my
I don't mention
experience.
Framingham State University
exactly.
In every episode.
If you had gone to Syracuse University, you might have do this too.
Okay, orange woman.
All right, exactly. I'm an orange woman. So anyway, Ben knows.
I did see Carmelo Anthony play against the Celtics last night on TV, not in person.
Oh.
And he's from
Did
Syracuse.
He do the catwalk on the way in in a nice dress outfit?
They don't always show the entrances. They show the local team. Well, maybe they did and I missed it. They do show certain guys. I honestly missed that part. I was on Netflix.
Who won?
The Celtics lost.
That sounds like it's a trend.
So we
can
talk about the Oscars instead, because we're not going to talk about the Celtics losing.
Well, I just want to go back to what I was just saying about my friend Janelle and Ben. I used to go play blackjack with them, and we've gone to Vegas. We've gone to, you know, the Hard Rock Hotel, actually, in Vegas is probably one of the best places to play blackjack in Vegas. And Ben knows cards, and he knows how to kind of
count cards, is that what they call it?
You didn't hear it from me, but if you're gonna say it, it's something like that. Anyway, like he kind of taught me, like if a bunch of tens come around and everybody's showing like face cards or tens, the next round of hands is generally going to be lower cards. And so it's just I'm fascinated by the strategy of playing cards, and my grandfather taught me how to play poker. My grandfather, when I was like 8 or 9.
Hey, my grandfather took me to the horse track when I was a kid.
There you go.
So
see, this was what our grandparents did.
Yeah.
They played cards. I mean, was your grandfather in, or was
he was a loser at the track? They
was
wanted
he,
to.
Was he a veteran? Was he in a war?
No,
of
he
any?
Wasn't. He he just
like
liked to
played
go to
cards.
The track a lot. My great grandfather was a winner at the track. My grandfather wasn't.
I've really never done horse racing, or I mean, I've gone to like what's that one that happens down?
I don't like any kind of animal racing, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm totally against it.
I understand that,
and I'm sure every one of our listeners will not be happy to hear this, but I find it just a way for humans to make profit off of animals. That's
well, you
all
are
I
see. Very much an animal
lover,
lover of all animals, and not cool to. You know, abuse an animal. I don't know if I 100% think that people are abusing a horse when they horse race them, but if you feel that way, I respect that.
I mean, I meant to say gaining profit from the use of animals. You know, humans are just trying to profit off of
but
animals.
But you're trying to profit off a podcast. I mean, what's the difference?
I'm not killing anybody.
But they're not killing.
I'm going to kill anybody. You if we don't talk about the Oscars in about 2 seconds.
All
you're
right.
Just digging me deeper and deeper,
uh-huh.
And now all the writers
all right.
Are going to hate me.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Come on now. Come on now. Everybody has an opinion on everything. All right. So best and not so best dressed of Oscars. Regina King takes the cake for me, people. Oh, man, did she look outstanding in Louis Vuitton. It was this gorgeous, structured dress that had beading, linear beading, and it was this beautiful blue, like a light blue-ish, sky blue on her dark skin. It just really, and this incredible voluminous sleeve, almost like a capelet kind of thing happening off the shoulders. And I gasped when I saw her. She just was truly stunning. And the bottom of the dress, I mean, it was a mermaid-shaped dress, so it hugged her curves. She's a curvaceous woman that was showing her curves, Steve. I really have to say that Regina King has come a long way in Hollywood. You know, she used to play second fiddle to everybody, and now she's, you know, she's a leading lady, and now she's directing. This was her directing debut, I believe. She really has just shown us her tour de force here. And this dress, absolutely, she showed up like, I am a leading lady, I am a director, and hear me roar. It was awesome. Viola Davis. I mean, actually, almost every woman on my list is a beautiful black woman that was best dressed at the Oscars this year for me. Viola Davis, who is an outstanding actress, and I just was, again, taken by her look this year. It's a white dress. There was a lot of white at the Oscars this year, Steve. I was very surprised.
My least favorite color.
Yeah, I was surprised. It's not a color you see at these award ceremonies very often. There was a lot of people that wore white. She was dressed in Alexander McQueen, who is no longer with us. So whoever's doing his collection on his behalf, I tip my hat to them, because it's not easy to carry along an incredible legacy like Alexander McQueen. Alexander McQueen took his life in 2010.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, I think he suffered from depression, and he committed suicide, which is a really big loss for the world of art and fashion, because he crossed this line between art and fashion that a lot of designers don't do anymore. And it was very haute couture, and it was always an edgy and dark and yet sexy and bright. I mean, it was just this, his collections are really, really something. Always a work of art, truly. And structured and architecture and so much. Anyway, what Viola Davis had on was also very curvy, curvaceous. It was, you know, her boobs were right out there. We had a lot of cleavage on this dress, but it worked. I think she gained weight for her role or something, because she made mention of that in one of the interviews. So I don't know. It was Ma Rainey, that movie Ma Rainey something. And I apologize to the listeners, because I haven't been able to catch up on all the Oscar films yet, and I hope to. But she had this embroidered kind
Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Yes, thank you. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And I assume it has music in it. Is it about Billie Holiday, maybe? Because one of my worst-dressed gals is the Billie Holiday gal. Gorgeous detailing on the upper bodice. It just was like interwoven. It was very Art Deco, now that I think of it. Again, both of these two pieces for me were very architectural dresses in a lot of ways, a lot of structure and divine detailing. Halle Berry, I really loved her dress and the color of the dress. I gotta tell you, I was distracted by her hair. She has this very blunt bob that she did, and I was not digging it. I don't like that look for her. I love it when she's got this soft, smooth, sexy, sultry thing that she does with herself that works for her. But
I love it when your opinion's unmerciful.
That's... when it comes to fashion, I will not give mercy.
You shouldn't.
You know, I mean,
I got to be honest with you. I didn't pay a lot of attention. The only thing I remember is that, and I don't want to be mean right now, but Frances McDormand's dress was just, I don't know what it was.
I got to tell you, I didn't even put her on my worst dress list.
I love her, but I don't know what that was that she was wearing. I couldn't figure it out.
I didn't even really notice it because it was that unmemorable.
You noticed it. You just don't want to mention it.
No, I love her too much, and we're going to give her lots of props today.
I don't want to end up on Frances McDormand negative list because I think she's a fabulous actress.
Yeah, hold on. Let's hold that thought because I want to talk about her a lot today. But I'm going to give also an honorable mention to Viola Davis's husband, or the gentleman that she was standing with. I assumed it was her husband. He was in a white, creamy white tux jacket with a black satin lapel. And the two of them just rocked the runway, rocked the red carpet to me. I mean, really, nice. Like, outstanding couple. I also think there was a little boy that was from this little guy. Alan Kim is the real winner of the award season. I love it. He's this 9-year-old little boy. He stars in the Minari film, and it's just like he's got a little tux with shorts on. He has his socks pulled up, and his one sock has 3 white stripes. I was just really impressed with this little guy. And, you know, it's hard for these little actors to go to an awards ceremony.
Someone has to dress them.
Exactly. It's like you don't generally see a tux for 9-year-olds, you know, in every store.
Right.
So he also gets an honorable mention from me. Again, trending the runway, trending the red carpet, I saw white and then gold. Gold was a big color this season as well. And I'm going to go ahead and start off with my worst dress, which was gold. And it goes to Andrea Day. She is in basically a bad bathing suit. It is, it's just awful. And it's like so risque and stupid. And it's like half her belly is showing, half her leg is showing. It's got all sorts of weird straps and... She was just...
Andra Day from States versus Billie Holiday.
Yeah, it was Billie Holiday. She plays Billie Holiday, which, I mean, what a character to have to play. I mean, Holiday's got a lot of sides.
Amazing.
Talk about a Gemini with lots of sides of... who knows when she was born, but...
Sad ending.
Oh, man. I mean, I love Billie Holiday. I cannot say a bad word about her and just what she did for blues and... jazz. Some of my favorite songs are Billie Holiday songs. But this dress, honey, it's bad. It's like a bad bathing suit made into a dress. And it's just wannabe dress. It's awful. And it's a Vera Wang. Shame on you, Vera. Ugh. Runner up, if not worse than this one, is Emerald Fennell in Gucci. What the fuck were you thinking? I mean, this thing is atrocious, and I can't, it's like a bad curtain times 1,000. It's green, and it's pink, and it's frilly, and it's sequiny, and she's pregnant, and it's like she's just dripping in frilliness, and it's chiffon, and it's gaudy, and it's awful. It's just goddamn awful. And, Vanessa Kirby. It's also Gucci. Gucci hits okay, hello, Gucci. You need to take some notes on Tom Ford's Gucci because Vanessa Kirby, it's like she's wearing a dress the color of her skin, and it's horribly fitted on her, and it also has a cutout. There's lots of cutout bellies at the Oscars this year, which was just stupid. It's
too bad.
A stupid
she's a
trend.
Really interesting looking woman.
She is. Beautiful. Yes, she's from another country. I'm not sure which one, but she has an accent and she's very stunning, very physically, you know, visually stunning, but
she's
bad.
English.
Bad, bad, bad. What?
Born in England.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't catch a British accent on her though. And then we'll talk about Glenn Close because, like, I don't love her outfit, but man, Glenn Close doing the butt.
I did see that she's a scene. She stole the scene.
She stole the Oscars, period. I mean, mic drop. She knew so much about the song, too. It was remarkable. So, you know, this takes us into, I'll give a quick honorable, horrible mention to Zendaya, because she was wearing neon yellow. She was wearing the yellow that I'm seeing everywhere. It was Valentino. I just didn't dig the dress. I think a lot of people liked it. I didn't. Again, I don't need to see your belly in an Oscar dress. Like, your belly is for the beach. It's not for the Oscars. That's what I gotta say. So, Frances McDormand and Nomad. Very proud of these ladies that really took the cake here on Nomad. Do you wanna talk about that stuff?
Yeah, well, you know, Nomadland, I did see the film and I was like blown away by it. And if you haven't seen it, it was based on the 2017 nonfiction by a woman by the name of Jessica Bruder. And it was directed by Chloe Zhao, who won Best Director. They really cleaned up. They won Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Actress. McDormand's character, Fern, is about a woman. She loses her job and her husband. She loses her job and her husband. She buys a van and drives around the country looking for work. At one point, she ends up in this community in Arizona where she learns about basic survival skills. And her and Zhao, this is interesting, her and Zhao and the other crew members lived out of their vans for the course of the production. And several real-life nomads are in the film, which to me, the film as a whole was very inspiring, but it was also depressing. But I got to tell you, I knew she was going to win the Oscar when I saw the film, and it was halfway through it, I was like, she's going to win because she was fantastic. She made herself look like a homeless person living in a van.
She can do that. She really morphs herself.
Yeah,
so
she's got three Oscars now. Fargo, everyone knows about. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I haven't seen that film. I'm going to go back and revisit that. She won the Oscar for that. And now Nomadland.
And can we talk to the fact that she was an Almost Famous?
Do you have a camera like in back of me looking at my
screen? No, but we are like two peas in a pod.
I was going to say she was great and Almost Famous that we previously discussed. She was nominated for Best Supporting Actress. She was also...
For that movie?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
She was also nominated for Best Supporting Actress for the 1988 film Mississippi Burning, 2005 North Country.
What an intense movie. That was good.
She's like one of the great...
She loves good scripts. I mean, she seeks them out. She knows what she's doing. She can. I mean, she may not be able to dress herself, but man, that woman can figure out a script.
When she did that howl when she won and they panned over to her husband, Joel Cohen, the look on his face was... priceless.
What was he looking like?
He didn't have any expression on his face at all. I can only imagine what he was thinking right then and there.
But to be married to a Cohen, like, they must have the most interesting, bizarre conversations for breakfast. Can you imagine?
It was
like
funny.
The two of them are just such odd ducks, but like,
I think they met during Fargo. I'm not positive, but it was funny because I
was Cohen.
I went back and watched her speech when she won for Fargo, just because I do things like that. And she thanked Ethan Cohen before she thanked Joel up there. She's like, Ethan just helped me through this film, you know, thank you, Ethan. And they were sitting together. I don't know if they were together or not, though. I'll have to look that up.
Right, well, there you go.
That's something I'd have to definitely look up. But
I haven't seen Nomadland yet. It's definitely on my must watch, and especially I knew we were going to be talking about this today, and I'm really proud of, you know, I feel like the Asian community showed up at the Oscars and showed up. I mean, they recognized, you know, the Asian community on the Oscars this, you know, for the Oscars this year, for the awards shows. And, you know, there's a lot of firsts happening right now. I mean, especially with Chloe and, you know, the woman who got the Best Supporting Actress for Myrna. I didn't catch her name and I apologize, but I
don't know if I can pronounce it.
Yeah.
Soonja Minari.
She's funny.
Soonja.
She's super funny. Her acceptance speech just, it was hard to understand, but she, you could tell she's got a great sense of humor.
My one disappointment, and I love Daniel Kaluuya, and I'm not taking anything away from him for winning Best Supporting Actor for Judas and The Black Messiah, was that Sacha Baron Cohen didn't win for The Trial of the Chicago 7. He played Abby Hoffman. That movie and Nomadland, I didn't see all of these films, but those two movies I could see being like Oscar winners.
Yeah, I did start watching Chicago 7, it's and I great. Forgot that I had, and I was like, oh my God, this is all about like, you know, fighting the war and, you know, what was happening with Vietnam. I mean, it's a very important story. And
they disrupted the Democratic National Convention. It's funny because, you know, they're probably all a bunch of liberals. They were. Abby Hoffman and those guys were not, they weren't exactly on the right. You
incredible
know?
Cast that they did. I mean, the court scene with the judge, it's like, clearly this judge is so corrupt. He's so corrupt.
The whole trial
is
corrupt, really.
It's a. I gotta finish watching it because I started it and then I didn't finish it.
That's something we might want to revisit at a future episode after you watch the film. If you want to talk about that film,
I would like to.
There's a lot to be said about that film.
So just to come back to Nomadland, because when I was designing for the brand that I was working for last in 2019. I met a lot of people that were in this whole, like, living in a van thing. You know, and when you think about the whole, like, Chris Farley from SNL, like, I'm just a man, you know, a man with a van living down by the river. But, I mean, it's so much different than that. And you think about the 60s and, like, the late 60s when the hippies all had their, you know, VW buses, the magic bus and this and that. It's a whole thing now. Like, people are getting vans and souping them up and they live in there and they're, like, showering on the road. And I don't know how they shower. I don't know how they're even getting, like, a working thing in them.
Must be rough during the pandemic.
Well, but a lot of people are doing this. That we're doing this before the pandemic. Yeah. I mean, think about...
That's what the movie's about,
right. I mean, it's a thing that's happening right now. It's a trend. It's people are doing it on Instagram. This is, like, their livelihood, and they're living off of, like, endorsements and sponsorships. And there's this chick, Brianna Maida, that I follow that is living in, you know, the canyons with three dogs and she lives in her van. I mean, it's a thing. It's a thing. It's a trend, literally. But
it doesn't bother me.
No, of course not. Yeah. No, but what's interesting is that it's a trend for these hippy-dippy little, you know, millennials. And yet there's this whole genre of people that live like this, the nomads.
Yeah,
and they're
that's
not
real.
The young little hipsters that are trying to do the Instagram millions, right?
I didn't know about this young hipster scene.
It's a thing.
Wow.
It's a thing. It's totally a thing. Mm. And I had to follow it because of the brand I was working for.
Did you want to segue into
Reznor? Well, let's do music. Yeah,
yeah, because I was going to say Reznor won the Oscar for
Trent Reznor.
Soul. But he previously won for The Social Network in 2011. He works with another guy named Atticus Ross. They were nominated for two different awards, Mank and Soul. And Soul won for Best Original Score. And it's interesting because afterwards, I know you want to talk about your favorite Nine Inch Nails song. But I did read just the other day that they're working on a new Nine Inch Nails record or music, they said. They're working on new Nine Inch Nails music right now.
Naughty Nine Inch Nails music. That's what I'm going to call it.
Did Mike want to give me a note or something? Or is he just taking notes?
Trent Reznor is a Tony away from EGOT. What does that mean? Do you know? a Tony away from, I just don't know what EGOT means.
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar.
Oh, really? Wow, I didn't know that. That's so...
Oh, so he needs a Tony Award
and
to
he'll
get
win, and he'll
one
have
of,
all four.
He'll have an EGOT.
Who would have thought about that when you first started listening to Nine Inch Nails? Who would have thought that could happen? This is a guy that grew up in the middle of nowhere in PA, and his idea of moving to a big city was to move to Cleveland. And he moved to Cleveland, and Nine Inch Nails ended up getting signed by TVT Records, and now... he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I saw Nine Inch Nails at Woodstock 94 when they came out covered in mud. It was one of the most amazing things
You were telling me about this on Saturday, and I was like, wow, that's so cool.
They knew they had to really bring the goods because the order of the bands of the last three bands that night was Nine Inch Nails, Metallica, and Aerosmith.
That's the way they closed out?
Yes.
Was this the closing of it, or was this just the closing of that night?
This was the second night. It was three nights. This was the second night. It poured through Aerosmith's entire set. But we were out there in the rain. We dug it.
So this was 1994, correct?
Yes.
You were telling me about this on Saturday.
Woodstock 25th anniversary.
So I started to tell you this, and then somehow we got segued. So I'm at a party in Newark, Delaware, okay, at this night. And we're watching it on TV. And we're all bumming because I swear to you, like, I love Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix. I have the albums of the original Woodstock. I've listened to them. I listened to them in high school, in college. Like, I mean, when my friends were listening to, like, Q102, I was, like, listening to, you know,
Is that a
shout-out
to a Delaware radio station?
Yeah, something like that. That's just what came to my mind. I think that was the station.
Q102 in Delaware.
Yeah, 93.7 was the other. WMMR was the rock station. But I was always just... I would, like, picture myself at Woodstock, like the original one, like how we were
Me
talking
too.
About, right? Like, what an epic moment in time to be there. And again, would I have been jumping in mud and doing mud slides and,
Probably.
You know, taking ecstasy, well, not ecstasy, but, you know, LSD, I don't know. But again, I would have been there for the music for sure.
You'd be taking the brown acid.
Oh, God, don't take the brown acid. I remember that on the record.
Yeah.
So I'm at this party and I'm with my high school friends, but I'm in college, right? And all of a sudden these guys were like, dude, let's get in a car and go to Woodstock, man. And I'm like, really? Really?
You didn't get in the car?
I abso-fucking-lutely got in the car. I got in the car with three strange guys that I didn't know. I did not know these guys. They weren't my high school.
You went to Woodstock 94?
I drove to Woodstock 94. We got all the way up there because they had just said how the gates had... I mean,
there were no gates.
Were like... just barreling in,
yeah,
right?
Everything was
And
gone.
Then by the time we got there, they had already gotten a handle on it and people weren't getting in. And so we fucking turned around and came all the way back. I was like, what did I do? This was the stupidest drunk decision I've ever made in my life.
Well, you're going to be really upset when I tell you this, but I had a hotel room 10 miles away from the venue, but I spent most of the time at the venue. I was working for A&M Records, and a bunch of us went up there to help pick songs for the double CD that we put out.
So cool.
And I was lucky. I was one of the ones that got to go. And I saw 27 performances in the time I was there. I averaged nine a day.
Wow. And that's awesome.
And Nine Inch Nails was one of them.
Okay.
And it was that one fight that night, Nine Inch Nails, Metallica, and
what,
it's funny because I'm not a huge fan of any of those three bands. I mean, I respect them all, but they're not one of my favorite. Like, the bands I saw there that I loved were, like, bands that other people were probably could care less about, you know? Like, the band played, you know? And, like, I was at Green Day's show in the mud.
Levon Helm's played?
Yeah, Levon Helm was there. Well, you know, it was the remaining members because Robbie Robertson wasn't there. Roger McGuinn from the Byrds replaced him. Richard Manuel had died. Bruce Hornsby played keyboards. And then they had these guests. They had a couple guys from the Grateful Dead, Jorma Kukkonen and Jack Cassidy from Jefferson Airplane Hot Tuna. That was great. And then I saw Paul Rogers, his all-star band. He had Slash. He had Jason Bonham on drums. He had Andy Partridge from Free. I mean, I was checking out stuff that other people didn't really...
Yeah.
Although I saw Dylan, I saw the Allman Brothers, I saw Joe Cocker. You know, I saw Crosby, Stills, and Nash. You know, I went to, like, 27 sets. But
all those guys played?
Yeah, there were two stages.
Wow.
And
that's why I was in a car with three strangers because I wanted to see that shit.
Some of the things that happened up there were incredible. Like, I ran into a girl I knew out in the middle of the field, and we were so happy to see each other. We started making out, and I'm making out with her. Her name was Kim for a while. And then she's like, we're done. She goes, I'm really sorry, but I really have a bad sore throat and swelling glands. And when I got home, like 2 days later, I was definitely ill, but it was worth making out with her in that field.
Making out in the field of
at Woodstock.
Joy.
Plus, I met a good friend of mine. We're still friends now, Susan Cappuccioni. I met her and hung out with her during that night that I'm talking to you about, Aerosmith, Metallica, and Nine Inch Nails.
Well, I'm watching the video of my favorite Nine Inch Nails music video. So I'm going to tip my hat to
you're watching
one of my,
it right now while we're recording?
I'm like, kind of like, what is this? Is this the one?
Just don't turn the volume on or we'll have a copyright infringement.
Yeah, no,
you know?
I'm not. So back at Syracuse, freshman year, my bestie from Syracuse, Christy Johnson Griffin, and she's one of our listeners, and I know she's subscribed. She introduced me to a lot of music, and she was a big music buff and still is. And she was big into Nine Inch Nails, and I want to F you like an animal.
We could say fuck on this show.
Oh, okay, you can say it. Just in case my kid listens. I don't know, you know.
I'm sorry, Josie, if you're listening.
But
I'm sorry to all the Josies that might be listening.
I know, right?
Because
all
could
of
be
our
at least
kids
two.
Are listening now. This is the podcast that we have to think about. Like,
that,
I'm a mom
that was a
and
shout
my kid
out.
Might
that was,
be listening.
That was a
down
shout
road.
Out to Ellie V because she has a Josie too.
We both have Josies, yep. So, I don't know, man. That song, she played that song for me. This was like a song that, I don't know, her boyfriend in high school had introduced her to. And I was like, wow, this is like really good. Like, I love the beginning. Again, I like that like dirty, funky, deep beginning of songs. Like,
you
it always gets
sexual
me.
And animalistic in the notes that
it
you
is.
Sent to
it's
me.
It's sexual and animalistic. It's just like, I want to fuck you like an animal. I mean, what more can you... What more can you ask for, really? Get thrown down on the bed?
What more can you ask for? I think we should segue to sex toys next.
Are we going to talk about sex toys? All right. Well,
I didn't write that in my notes. You did.
I thought you wanted to talk about sex toys.
Okay, now don't be making that up because I've already, I don't need any more millennial women coming after me.
Oh, stop, whatever. Who cares about the millennials? I'm sorry, millennials. We care about you very much.
We do. The look on your face. We got to get the video cameras rolling from now on. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So,
I didn't mean to.
All right, so like my intro to Nine Inch Nails is I Want to Fuck You Like an Animal. I mean, is there a better song than that?
Hurt, I would say, is there.
That's
I love that
really
song.
Hard for me to listen to. It's too dirty, angry.
Johnny Cash's version, though, is so good.
Whoa. I will say, I have a music friend who introduced me to Hurt by Johnny Cash. And I was hurting at the time that he introduced me to that song. Man,
I don't know whose
that.
Idea that was. It could have been Rick Rubin. It could have been Johnny Cash, whatever. It could have, Reznor probably was happy as hell when he heard about it. But what, man, did they nail that cover.
Unbelievable. So wait a second. At what point when was this song even written and recorded?
I'm not the hugest Nine Inch Nails fan, so I can't tell you the year.
Right here.
But it was years after that Johnny Cash covered it.
I was going to say, I didn't even realize that he was like alive for that, but I guess so.
Yeah, he was very alive when he recorded the song.
No, of course. I mean, right.
It was painful to listen to his version, too, because you could tell he was channeling his past drug problems.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. It's such a dark thing here. Okay, so this says it was released on March 8th, 1994 by Nothing Records and Interscope Records.
Yeah, Interscope.
Does that sound right?
Johnny Cash's
Pretty
version
Hate
was after
Machine
that.
Was 1989, sorry. So was that from that album?
I You're stumping
I'm
me now.
Reading
Thank you for
this.
Doing this again.
Sorry.
We're going to have to edit this whole part out.
No, we're not. This is what it's all about. We're learning. We're learning about things that we learn about that we know about. Wait. So Trent Reznor moved to the same house where Sharon Tate was murdered.
Yeah, he lived there.
What? And that's what we covered in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I'm sorry I didn't bring that up, but here's the thing. He got kicked out of there because the neighbors were all complaining because,
because he used it as a
studio. Was turning into like a I mean, I can't believe he went and lived in that house, first of all. Would you go live there? I wouldn't live there.
No,
you know?
Hell no. But he's so dark and, his music is so dark. Okay, so anyway, Trent Reznor got best score at the Oscars. We love...
Closer. That's what I thought it was.
Okay. Because I think I always thought it was called Animal. I don't know why, but I have it written down as Animal.
It was on the Downward Spiral album in 1994. I'm sorry I took that. I should have just picked up my phone and looked it up.
Oh,
and I apologize because I'm not a huge... like Trent Reznor, but I don't know everything about Nine Inch Nails.
It is a concept album detailing the destruction of a man from the beginning of his downward spiral to his death by suicide. The Downward Spiral features elements of industrial rock, techno, heavy metal music, in contrast to the band's synth-pop-influenced debut album, Pretty Hate Machine, in 1989, and was produced by Nine Inch Nails frontman Trent Reznor and The Flood.
He's a real hands-on guy. You know, he probably He doesn't need to work with any producers. He's a genius, basically. The fact that he's scoring all these films now, and the music in The Social Network is so dark and gloomy.
I remember watching that movie and just being like stressed out listening to the music, and that's what it's all about, right? He's trying to like. So, have you listened to the Soul song? Like, I don't know this song yet, but if it's a kids' movie, right? So, I mean, I guess I'll have to watch it anyway. It'll be cool. we're either going to segue.
I love when you interview me about these things, and I'm like, I don't know.
But you're allowed to say,
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I could say, I don't know.
I know he won the Oscar.
There's plenty of things I could say I don't know about for fashion. And
you know everything.
No, I don't know everything. I'm never going to pretend like I know everything. But I have a surprise for you, Steve. You want to see your surprise?
Wait, you're giving me a surprise during the show?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the whole plan.
I didn't know that was the plan, but okay.
You said you love surprises.
All right.
You don't even know what the surprise is yet. So everybody, I'm going to give a huge, huge shout out to my good new bestie at Nordstrom's in the North Shore Mall in Peabody. I went to Nordstrom's this morning. I was there at 9:55, just before they opened, because they open at 10. And I walked in and went right over to the Tom Ford counter.
Oh, no.
And I went, and there was my buddy Jay. Jay is one of the, I will pull out his business card in a second and give him another plug. But Jay is a gentleman that I have connected with at the North Shore Nordstrom's for several years now. He's a phenomenal salesperson there at Nordstrom's. And I'm a big Nordstrom's shopper. That's where I shop. And they used to have incredible customer service, and Jay gives incredible customer service. I can't say that for some of the other people that work there lately. But I went in and...
Can you just give me my gift?
No, not yet. So I went in and I was like, okay, I'm going to... Ooh, there's lots of yellow. I started taking pictures of the yellow. I have great pictures for our YouTube page. And I'm like, hey, and that, there he was. And I was like, Jay, oh my God. Listen, so I just opened up an art gallery in SoHo, Boston. And oh my God, then I was like a guest on my friend's podcast. And then all of a sudden it ebbed into having our own podcast about fashion, film, food, and music. And last week we covered Tom Ford. And the week before that we covered cologne. And I'm telling him the whole story. And I was like, can I ask you, could we have some samples of some Tom Ford cologne? I've been telling the guys that I work with at the studio that they need to have a wonderful scent for themselves. So, without further ado, drum roll, please. Look at this gorgeous bag.
Oh, I love that. It says Tom. Can I keep the bag too?
Yes, Steve.
Oh, I love that bag.
So, Ellie V says that she's going to challenge me when she comes on the show about scents and cologne. Okay, Ellie V, bring it, girl, because guess what? I am never going to back down on my thought on cologne. By the way, Jay, he told me how to pronounce it.
Gregalovich.
Jay Gregalovich, who is the Dior and NARS counter manager for the cosmetics. He's fabulous. He and I just talked cologne for 45 minutes, which is why I was late today. That's why you were late and you got our engineer all nerved up.
Thanks a lot for that.
Sorry, Mike. I told you there was a good reason. So we sprayed a ton of different colognes on car. Are you telling me that my surprise for you isn't a good reason? No,
yes, it is. It is. It's. I can't wait.
I'm going to Indian give you in this fucking you cologne, motherfucker.
Well, you give it to me then. Well, no, give it to me good.
Stop it. I'm trying to tell you what I did.
Sorry.
Because you can't just pick a cologne for somebody. It's so personal, okay?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hello. Okay. So this one is Soleil Brulant. That's
it's on
one.
The card?
Well, yeah, I sprayed a bunch
of
cards.
Oh, my God.
That's not for you, right?
No.
You don't like it. Exactly. This is Tuberose New. I don't think you're going to dig
Tuberose
that.
Tuberose New.
These are all the ones that he gave me that he thought we would like.
No, this smells like something my grandmother would have worn.
Yeah, it's rose. It's all about roses.
No, thank you with that.
Yep. This is Mandarino di Amalfi.
Mafia?
Amalfi. Like... It's all Italy.
This is pretty
good.
Yeah,
I thought you would like
that one. It's a little
more
subtle. I'll put that in the good pile.
Okay.
I got a bad pile and a good pile over here.
Yeah. Okay. Tobacco Oud.
This one's
blended, I think, with some of these other ones, but I like that one. That one at least smells good on the card right now.
This really does smell good.
Right?
I actually like
Tobacco
that.
Tobacco Oud. That one may be, okay. Neroli Portofino. Some of these might have all combined together.
I'm sniffing
now.
Before I'm even getting the card.
And then...
Oh, this is fantastic.
That was the one I thought you would like the best.
That's going to be in the
Remember how you
pile.
Were like, I told you there's one called Fucking Fabulous?
Uh-oh.
So I'm best for last, but not so much best for last as far as I'm concerned. Because I did not know how it smelled. So I sprayed it and... I'm handing it to you. I don't know if that's your scent, but I think these all have combined a little bit together.
I really like this.
Oh, well, there you go.
Fucking fabulous.
It's fucking fabulous for Steve.
Wow. So there's two
right.
I love,
Hold
one I
the
kinda
press.
Love.
There's more in this bag. Hold on. I wish we had a video of this today. All right, so.
You got actual colognes?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you love me, don't you?
I do love you.
Oh, I know how to give a fucking good present, and I know how to give a good surprise. Okay. Oh, guess what I got? Because I knew you would like it.
You got Fucking Fab or Neroli Portofino?
Ding, 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 ding. Neroli Portofino.
I'm going to be wearing cologne now.
Yep. All right. So it smells completely different when you pull it out because it's, you know, smells like alcohol, really.
Okay.
So that's that. And I'll give you bag and I'll give you the little thingy, but put some on now. Now, right now.
Put some on now?
Yes. Because I want to smell it on you when we finish the show.
Where do I put it?
Put it on your, like, hand, whatever, on your neck. No.
Okay, we really need the visual for this, but we don't have it.
Okay, yeah. Now, put some on your face now. Because, like, men wear it on their face, on their neck. Yeah. Like, if a woman's leaning in to say hello to you, you want her to get a nice whiff.
Man, I've come a long way from blowing smoke with Twisted Rico, I'll tell you, man.
Open that and put it on your neck, Steve, please.
But I already put some on. You want me to
again,
put more on?
Again, just a dab. A little dab will do you. That's where that came from.
Okay, I can't wait till I see people.
All right, good.
They start sniffing me.
Here's the box that goes with it. Isn't that adorable?
It's beautiful. Thank you.
Okay, and then I don't know if Mike Nash here would wear cologne.
You got Mike Nash cologne?
Well, I'm definitely gonna get him cologne. This is the one he wouldn't give me like 1,000 samples. You know, this is a lot of cologne, like perfume.
Yeah.
I got one for myself, of course, people, because okay. I needed to get my Tobacco Vinny because I'm actually out of it. And I just think Tobacco Vinny for Mother's Day would be a wonderful present for somebody to give me. That's a hint to somebody that
Do
might
get
be
to
listening
keep these
to
cards?
Show. Yeah. Okay. But I feel like I want Mike to smell those cards too.
There you go. Give
him Here's
Mike.
Another one. I want Mike to try this. It's called Ode Wood, but I did get this for the gentleman in my life. But Mike, this might work for you. So
the gentleman in your life, lucky guy. Mm. I thought I was the gentleman in your life.
This, because this one's like a manly cologne. No, you don't dig it? He doesn't dig it. Uh-oh, now he's going to be sick all day. Wait, really? Is it bad?
That was a great look.
Oh, it changes, Mike. It'll change.
I don't think he's sold on your idea.
All right, good.
Nice try.
Then he's not getting that one then. We'll have to find a different one for him.
Well, thank you.
So that's my little present for you, and that's my surprise. Okay.
Thank you very much.
And again, just a shout out to Jay at Nordstrom's. Thank you, Jay, so much for all these samples. I will give you the bag. Don't you worry.
I was giving her hand signals because I like that bag. I want that.
Yeah.
I became a Tom Ford fan all because of you. So
I know.
I love Tom Ford.
We'll deal
Ford
with that
now.
All at the end. Okay.
I really
that's,
do love
that's
him.
That's my present for you. And I do want to plug that on May 7th, I have a brand new show at the art gallery. We are opening up our next exhibit. I'm hanging it as we speak. It is an ode to the women in my life and my father's life. I am featuring my mother, who is an incredible artist, Cornelia Cambia Davis, and she paints watercolors. Very talented. She has been painting my whole life, and she...
I've seen some of her work. It's fantastic.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yes.
It's really stunning. And when she came yesterday and we started to kind of map out the show, I'm in awe of her work, really. Like, I'm in awe of both my parents' work, and I think that's what makes this project so personal and special is, like... I'm getting to represent my parents as artists, and I've spent, 40-something years, or 30-something years focusing on my own career, right? And now I'm kind of, flip-flopping, and I'm doing this art gallery to kind of
I went there
represent.
For a third time this weekend, and I have to say it's a great place to hang out. Next week we'll be hanging out there again, so I'm excited.
Yeah, on Friday, we're going to have our first Friday, which is May 7th, mm-hmm. from 5 to 9. We will have live music with the fabulous, wonderful Mark Femineau again. I love him as a musician, and I wanted to have him back. So we asked him to come back, and he said yes. So we'll have live music from 5 to 9. And one of the things that happened this weekend as I was in the gallery was I had this really great conversation with this older gentleman about how... my vision for the gallery is just, this multi-use space, that I want to host events there. I want to have networking events. I want to bring people that would never go to an art gallery, come in for a networking event and interact with, their respective careers, mm-hmm. within an art space. And whether it's, I'd love to have live music nights in there. I was telling you
we will.
I have this idea of a second Saturday or a second Sunday or something like that. And one thing that was really cool on Sunday, the SOA Open Market finally opened. There is a real live farmers market happening in the South End.
Really?
On Sundays from 11 to 3.
Oh.
Every Sunday now until October, there will be a farmers market happening, which is great for all of us
yes.
that have the galleries.
I love farmers markets.
I will say it didn't bring in a lot of foot traffic for us this past Sunday, and it might have just been.
Oh, it will. Things are really starting to open up.
I feel
now,
the vibe is changing
yeah.
for sure. But what was cool is Carrie Lynn and I, before we opened the gallery, we ran down there and just started handing out postcards to everybody that was walking
Good
by
idea.
Us and just, come into the art gallery. And it worked, actually. There was some people that came
nice.
Back. But it was really cool to see this energy in down there because I haven't seen it yet. It's been very, very kind of ghost towny. And this was just teeming with people, but they are doing COVID restrictions, so only 80 people can come in at a time, and it's in a big parking lot outside. Everybody's wearing masks still. So anyway, another thing that somebody brought up to us this past week was for me to mention my hours. So my gallery hours are Thursday and Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 12 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 4. And that may or may not change. You know, we're still trying to get a feel of what's happening down there. I am closed technically Monday, Tuesdays, and then Wednesday by appointment only. But I can certainly do by appointment only on any of those other days. I know that the assisted living facility that my dad is moving into in Brightview in Wakefield, they are actually going to bring all of their residents down to see my gallery, which is so sweet. Isn't that cool? They're going to do a little road trip with the old folks. So anyway, I just wanted to give a little quick plug for, you know, first Friday, May 7th, 5 to 9. It's going to feature Cornelia Cambia Davis, my mother, and also my father and some of the motherly pictures that he or paintings that he's done. And the show is called The Mother Figure.
Lovely. Do you want me to give out some new info before we get off the air here? Well, our email address, as I've told you guys before, is seems2me@csr.com.
Before we go there, food this week. We were going to talk about our family recipes. Do you have anything that jumps out to you?
First of all, I want to say that a lot of people that have listened to the show told me I was way off when I said I didn't know anything about fashion and food. So I want to take that back because I'm very fashionable and I know a lot about food and I'm a good cook. So I don't know why I said that. I thought maybe I was intimidated by Cibollini and Seriano. Well, the main reason is my two grandmothers and my mother, all Italian, all from Italy, and they all were fantastic cooks. I mean, the sauce in my family, it definitely trickled down to me, and I make really good sauce. And
What do you start with when you make your sauce? I'm curious.
You're asking me to give you my recipe for sauce on a podcast right now? I start with tomatoes, okay? But I don't give out my recipe to anyone.
Oh, you don't?
No,
just
I
like
don't.
Your age? You're like this big mystery.
Okay, is this the pick
mystery
on
man?
Steve section of the show?
Are you mystery man, Steve?
Can't we just leave it that I make a really good sauce?
Right. I'll give my recipe.
I never will call it gravy ever in a million years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's just rubbed off down to me that I'll tell you one thing about when I make sauce, what the most important thing is. The longer you cook it, the better it is.
100%.
If you can start like at 10 in the morning and then cook it till 7 at night.
Are you cooking it in a, like, what kind of pan?
A big, giant
pan. Oh, a big,
pan.
Deep pan.
Yeah, my grandmother, Rose, used to start her sauce on Saturday and we'd eat the sauce on Sunday. She'd have it simmering all night long.
Was she a nana?
Nani Rose. And she was amazing. All three of them, Nonanetta, Nani Rose, and my mother are all fantastic cooks.
What's your mother's name?
Anna.
Anna, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Anna. She was actually born in Italy. They all were born in Italy.
Yeah.
So
Studio a Firenze per cinque mesi della moda.
Wow, that was really good.
Thanks.
I'm impressed. They all were fantastic cooks, and I learned a lot from all of them. But I also want to mention that someone that isn't in my family, Zach Shell from Baby Loves Tacos in Pittsburgh, he's a fantastic cook. He has showed me, I worked with him for 2 years, and I learned a lot from him, too. So everything I learned from my family was great, but learning from a Polish guy from Pittsburgh really helped me, too. And he has a very successful operation out there in Pittsburgh called Baby Loves Tacos.
I love tacos.
He's taught me a lot.
I love a good taco. You know, let's talk about that for a second. Do you like cilantro?
I love cilantro.
So many people do not love cilantro.
I noticed.
Isn't that weird?
When I make rice, I like to add cilantro and lime to my
rice.
That's
a great idea. I've never done that at home.
Really
I love it when I go to a restaurant and they have cilantro lime rice, but I've never done it at home, Steve. I love cilantro. I would eat cilantro for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
It's really important with a lot of different kinds of Mexican food, I think, to use
it. You absolutely need the lime and cilantro to balance the heat in Mexican food. Absolutely. You need the acid and that cool. I find that cilantro.
I'm happy you feel this way.
Yeah. Well, you know, I discovered something called culantro. in Puerto Rico. They have something called culantro there, which is different. It tastes different than cilantro, but it's called culantro.
Really?
And you put it in sofrito, and you put it in, you know, some of the foods that they do. So my grandmother, who was born in Cologne, Germany, by the way, which I just found out today, is the reason why there's something called cologne.
The reason why you brought me cologne.
Exactly,
today?
Because that man was from Cologne, Germany, and that's how that name came about. So my grandmother and grandfather and mother and father are all incredible, incredible cooks. And I learned from the best. And my grandmother was always cooking bread and the smell of the bread. And it was very, very particular what kind of flour she got and what kind of salt she used for the bread. I remember her doing that. And then we always had a lot of Italian food as well, even though, and my grandparents lived in Italy. My grandfather was a sculptor, and he used the same marble from Carrara, Italy, that Michelangelo carved with.
Wow.
And they lived in Carrara, Italy, and were Americans there. But the whole community embraced my grandfather. There's actually a sculpture in Carrara, Italy, that is my grandfather's sculpture. But my grandmother used to make chicken cacciatore and all sorts of sauces as well. And she always talked about I profumi and how important I profumi was, which is translated to the smell or the smells. And her recipe was always to start with onions. Anytime you were having guests over to the house, you always sauteed
garlic
some
onions.
Garlic and onions. But, you know, onions was a big piece of hers that I'm telling you about. So I profumi meant onions and carrots and celery. And that, to Julia Childs, is actually also mirepoix. So that is the beginning of all sauces. That is what all sauce should start with. Now, some people say you don't want carrots, but I like carrots and celery and
okay, I'm not going to get in a huge debate with you how to start a sauce, you know, because I don't start my sauce that way.
Okay.
I do start with onions and garlic and olive oil. Olive oil is one of the most important things. Virgin olive oil is one of the most important things.
So this is something I just learned from my nutritionist, that you don't want to cook with olive oil because when it heats up, it turns into saturated fat.
I've been doing that my whole life.
I know, me too. Me too, Steve. Apparently you're only supposed to eat olive oil cold. How about that, huh?
Well, I'm going to dispute that.
I know.
With him.
Well, I know.
Because I've been cooking with, I only cook with olive
Apparently
oil.
Apparently, you're supposed to only cook with avocado now, avocado and coconut oil, because those
coconut
are the ones that can
oil
go
is
hot.
Very fattening, though.
It's not about fat, it's about what happens when you do high heat with.
I love coconut oil, though.
I know. Me too. And you use it on your body as lotion, right? So do I. Well, don't worry about it. So, okay.
I'm not telling you anything anymore. That's it. We're breaking up.
It's an inside joke, people. Sorry. Anyway, we talked about our family recipes. We can go there more again another time. And
in the next show, can we talk about the best sex scenes from movies? Because you told me we were going to talk about that. We never got to it. And I have all these scenes here.
Fuck it. We can't not do that.
Okay.
We were going to talk about the best sex scenes in movies, right?
I came up with a whole list, and you could say whether you like these or not. These are the best sex scenes I've ever seen in the movie.
Let's do it.
Wild Things, the threesome between Denise Richards, Matt Dillon, and Nev Campbell.
Fantastic. Okay.
Halle Berry, who you mentioned before, and Billy Bob Thornton really got down in Monster's Ball. That was hot. Let's go all the way back to Angel Heart. You want to talk about Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rourke and Lisa Bonet.
That's
fire right there.
That's with the blood chicken and the blood and all that craziness.
And then I got Boogie Nights. How can you not like Julianne Moore and Mark Wahlberg being directed in the scene by Burt Reynolds?
With his giant
fantastic
penis.
I got two more left for you.
Okay, yep. Yep.
Secretary. We got to mention a Gyllenhaal in every episode, and I just did what I don't like to do, bump
into
the mic.
Spader. He's such an
James Spader and Maggie Gyllenhaal. And then my final scene, which is amazing because most people know me, know I love girl-girl action. My best scene is Black Swan, Natalie Portman and Mia Kunis. Best lesbian scene ever.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Those are my best sex scenes on my list in films.
Okay.
I almost put Chloe Sevigny on there for the BJ scene, but I figured, you know, that's just a little too raunchy. It wasn't really a sex scene.
Which one was that from? What movie?
Oh, fuck. I hate when I can't remember the fucking. You have to do
all
that.
All right. So
me.
I'm going to give you my two. I only have two because I didn't come super prepared, but I love 9.5 Weeks with Mickey Rourke and Kim Basinger. I just love everything about that movie. It's naughty. It's, you know, he's kind of like dominating her, but yet she's like the sex kitten.
She loved it.
She strip teases for him and they have like eating fruit and vegetables and all sorts of craziness out of the refrigerator. And she's got her hand, you know, eyes closed. And so he's like, you know, sexifying the food with her, and it turns me on. And then the blue room scene in Top Gun with Kelly McGillis and Tom Cruise, that's sexy. What was your movie with the BJ?
It was The Brown Bunny, Vincent Gallo. Vincent Gallo
the
somehow.
Brown Bunny, that sounds.
It was
dirty.
A horrible film, but it was a horrible film, but in the film, which ended up getting an X rating. Chloe Sevigny actually gives Vincent Gallo a blowjob, and it's in the film.
Mm. Wow, so she must have had to really give him a blowjob.
She really gave him a blowjob. It wasn't fake at all. She was really doing it.
Okay.
And if you like Chloe Sevigny and you want to see her give a blowjob, I highly recommend The Brown Bunny.
Is that how she pronounces her name?
That's how I pronounce it.
Okay, I don't think that's the correct pronunciation.
Sevigny?
No, I don't think that's the pronunciation. But anyway, I can't remember how to pronounce it myself. I'm going to go ahead and give an honorable mention to Officer and a Gentleman because...
Richard Gere.
Richard Gere can do no wrong. He could always park his boots under my bed any day. Even as
it's
a silver
raunchy,
fox. And what was the woman that was in that? She's such a... I adore that woman, and I can't remember her name. Anyway, I love their love story in that movie. I love Tom Cruise and Kelly McGillis's little, you know, teacher, older, you know,
I'm sorry,
teacher.
I was looking at my phone. Were you talking about Deborah Winger?
Yes, yeah, Deborah Winger. Okay. Thank you. I couldn't remember her name. I'm trying to think of what other.
She was great in that film.
She was incredible
in
that
film.
Film.
Richard Gere was great too.
I mean, I just recently watched it again.
Louis Gossett Jr. played the drill sergeant. Yeah, that was good. I know we just segued away from sex. Sorry, but that was a great film that I totally forgot about.
A good movie. I just watched it again for the first time in years and years and years. Because I just love that love story.
I would revisit that film. Mm. I'm not a big military guy, but I would revisit that film.
Oh, it's so poignant to, you know, just the pushing yourself to the limits, you know, being part of a team.
Those girls really wanted to get the officers.
She didn't necessarily, but her friend did. Her friend wanted to just get herself an officer.
Yeah.
She finally lands an officer and then, you know, breaks his heart and he ends up committing suicide. It's really sad. Anyway. But their sex scenes are pretty smoking in that movie. And I picked
some good ones.
I don't know the other ones that you said. A lot of those I don't remember.
9.5 Weeks was just sex from, you know.
Beginning to end. And it's like he takes her shopping and buys her lingerie and buys her clothes.
You mentioned in the notes.
I like the mental part of it.
Yeah, you liked the refrigerator scene, and I hated that scene. Ugh. I mean.
What do you mean? He gives her an olive.
He gives her cough syrup. You know, it's so gross. I was like,
it's all about pushing the limits of your taste buds, and then
you
going
push
and
the
having
limits
wild
too
sex.
Far there. I think, and I love, love, love Mickey Rourke,
and I love,
I do.
Love, love Kim Basinger, and I love them both together. Even
and
more.
I love Mickey Rourke more.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, he looks like a freaking animal now.
Hey. Settle down a little
bit. What did he do to himself,
though?
He was one of the best-looking men in Hollywood.
Yeah, and we were going to talk about one of your favorite topics, Botox, but we're not going to get into that.
Yeah, we're going to have to segue.
If you want to talk about Mickey Rourke, I think that's what might have happened. I think he had plastic surgery.
Oh, he's a plastic surgery nightmare.
I don't like it.
It's so sad to me. It's so fucking sad what he has done to himself. Why are people in Hollywood doing this? It's like, just age gracefully, age beautifully.
Why are people not in Hollywood doing it? Why is anyone doing it?
I know. I mean, I have so many people in my life that are playing around with it. And it's like, you don't need to. You don't need it. You don't need Botox. You don't need fake eyelashes. What are we doing? Trying to look like Barbie dolls? It's like the Kim Kardashian Kardashian family ruined it for everybody. It's like, I'm seeing these 20-something-year-olds with lips that enter the room before they do. Their boobs enter the room before they do. It's like everything is like busted out, like this giant face of lips.
The
it's
Kardashians
stupid.
Are like more living proof of how fucked up this country is. Kim Kardashian has 217 million followers on Instagram, probably most from teenage girls. And how did she become famous, in case anyone forgot?
Sex tape.
Yeah. There you go. She made a sex tape, and she became an overnight sensation.
And the whole family has basically, you know...
It's really funny that Bruce Jenner is the least famous one in the family, and he's the one that won an Olympic gold medal. Sorry, Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, but like, yeah, I mean, it's just the whole... And then don't forget OJ and the dad were besties, and that's,
the
you know, another reason.
The dad was OJ's lawyer.
Yeah. I mean, they were intertwined in the world of celebrity-dom, but really...
Celebrity-dom with a B at the end?
Ba-dum-bum-bum.
I like
that's
that.
Good.
Celebrity-dom. You know, we're going soon, but you didn't say your favorite word one time in this episode.
I think the Kardashian family is completely redonkulous. And we don't
Thank
want
you.
Them to smother Kate us at all,
you're
right?
You're stealing my thunder. I was going
to
say I'm going
to
smother Kate
your
you.
Word.
I was going to say I'm going to smother Kate you for
Are
using
Are you overwhelmed?
Ron
Do you have overwhelmption yet? Do I overwhelmption you?
I can't keep up with you. I know that.
He never thought he'd ever say those words. Steve moves a mile a minute every day, all day long, and he can't keep up with me.
I can't. You're on another level.
Am I?
I've been so excited to tell people about our new things we have. Can I do it?
Yes, please.
We have a Patreon page.
We do?
We have a
awesome.
Patreon page.
Thank you, Steve.
It's patreon.com/seems2me, S-E-A-M-S, to me. And you can support our podcast there.
Wouldn't you guys love to support our podcast? Are you enjoying this conversation
you know
that
what the
Steve
minimum,
and I have?
You know what the minimum
What's
support
the minimum?
Is? $5 a month.
Awesome. Everybody that I know could easily support us with a fiver.
Everybody you know better have a fin up on that site by next week.
Hey, guys, can you spare a fiver, please? Steve and I would like to, you know, not have to pay out of our pocket anymore.
We want to make our engineer rich, and we want to bring him a lot of business.
Well, we are going to get sponsorships from everybody as soon as they realize how friggin' fabulous this podcast is.
We're going to have to overpay him now that you made him wear cologne, but, you know.
Sorry, Mike.
We have an Instagram page now, too.
Voice Motel.
It's, Mike has an Instagram page. I was just plugging Voice Motel. We have one now, too.
Oh, Instagram page.
Yep, it's at seems to me Sib, C-I-B, Steve, S-T-E-V.
So
now we have an
why
Instagram
do you spell
page.
Your name S-T-E-E-V?
That's a whole episode.
Oh, it is. Okay. Well, just making sure that everybody knows that because I've never met another Steve that spells it the way you
it's
do.
It's actually simple. When I was in college radio, I was the music director, and there was another guy, Steve Peck, who was program director, and people used to leave us notes on the board. This
but
is before texts and messages and computers and everything.
Leaving messages
right.
on a board.
And for a joke, someone said, why don't you spell your name S-T-E-V? And everyone in the music industry knows me as S-T-E-V.
It's brilliant.
Because of that day when I was like a 19-year-old college kid.
Well, so now you're telling everybody that they can call me Sib, which they can't. But that's okay.
Did you want me to change the...
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I was trying to make it as short as possible.
I'm Sib the art gal, too. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, I just, you know, I
don't call
you
Sib.
I know. Yeah, it's all good.
It's only an Instagram page.
I know. It's cool.
Okay. But we want 217 million followers like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, well... Listen, she's actually brilliant. I mean, I got to tell you, I watched a David Letterman on her.
She was brilliant in the sex tape, I
thought. Was she? I never saw it.
No, she was boring, actually. It was almost bad as the Paris Hilton sex tape.
Wait, were they bad? What are they doing on them? Are
they
doing it up
the
butt?
But they just... If I'm going to go and watch sex on the internet, I want to watch some really good...
Were they doing it up the butt?
I don't think there was butt sex in either one of them. No.
I don't understand butt sex. And we're going to talk about it someday. We may not have to talk about it today.
Okay, I won't give you my opinion on it then.
Oh, I need your opinion on it. Now, we're going there, Steve.
I'll go there.
What's up?
That's my opinion. I'll go there.
Oh, you'll go there. Okay, see, I don't get it. I don't get it. If you're not
I've gone
gay,
there, I should say.
If you're not gay, why do you want to stick your penis up an
asshole? Oh, you're opening yourself up right now, and you're probably going to delete that you said that anyways.
Well, I don't know. We're not talking about my asshole. We're talking about somebody else's asshole.
Wow, we've come a long way from Francis McDonald.
I told you, sometimes you just need to talk for a while, and then you'll get me going. Oh, my God. All right. We might have to go soon.
I want to apologize to my Nani Rose in heaven that's mm-hmm. listening. I didn't mean to
this
bring up...
This is the thing. It's like my family's listening to
we
this,
We didn't mean
Christ
to bring up butt sex. You know, sorry to the world.
Okay,
but you know
so
what?
Are we going to end on butt sex and not talk
No, we're
going to
remind everyone again. Patreon. Oh, patreon.com/ seams, SEAMS to me.
You know what I realize I really think is important is that I want to say an affirmation every week. And so my affirmation for today that I heard this morning on my meditation, because I meditated again this morning, it's very short and sweet. My decisions today will define my tomorrow. That's a good one, huh? Yeah. There we go.
Boom.
Goodbye.
Peace out, people.
So let the good times roll. Feel it in your soul. Take another round and let the good times roll.